This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go get it!
The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. Fantasy football advice. A lot of questions you may have, whether you trade Le'Veon Bell or trade for Le'Veon Bell. We'll get into all that with Kevin Payne, rotowire.com. We'll take your calls. We'll do that around 8:35. You may have some Aaron Rodgers questions. And every indication that I see, and Michael Cohen from The Athletic joins us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Am I wrong to think that Aaron Rodgers is about, I mean, unless something crazy happens, I'd put him at a 99.5% chance that he's going to play in this football game, Michael.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I don't see any reason why he won't play, barring any sort of setback or strange occurrence between now and kickoff on Sunday. I think all indications are that he's going to be ready to go. It's just a matter of getting treatment between now and then and not risking further injury on the practice field.
I thought that was interesting when Aaron said on Sunday night after the game that, you know, when he walked out of the tunnel and he felt the emotion of the crowd as he walked out, that hey, that got him, that got into him a little bit, and therefore it helped his cause at all. It helped rejuvenate him a little bit as he came out and played for the second half. I just thought that was interesting when he said that, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would sort of think it would be the same for every player, that when you walk out onto the field and you've got a little bit of an injury, that any sort of support you can get from the crowd would trigger that adrenaline. So I'm sure that's what it was with Rodgers as well.
So what's this latest injury with Davante Adams that's come up? We hear I know he sat out for a little bit in the game on Sunday night, but he's got a sore shoulder. What's the extent of it? What do you know about it?
Yeah, he hurt his shoulder when he fell. I think it was, you know, in a play in the second half during the comeback. He said he just fell on it kind of awkwardly, and then the adrenaline got him through the game, much as it did with Rodgers, and then it started bothering him and was a little sore. And he's optimistic that he'll be able to play on Sunday as well. And again, I think it's just a situation of the Packers resting him, you know, as much as possible during the week, because he's not a guy that necessarily needs a ton of practice reps to get ready to play. But when all is said and done, I think both he and Rodgers will be on the field Sunday.
One thing we haven't talked about much this week, and I'd like to ask you about, is Jamal Williams in the running game. They faced a very good defensive front seven against Chicago, and they're going to do the same against Minnesota. When I look at their defense, the defensive line is where I think their strength is, and trying to run into that, and Jamal Williams seemed to a lot kind of just run up the middle. Was last week more of the Bears just shutting him down, and a team like the Vikings can do the same? Or are they worried about Jamal Williams not having maybe the burst that like an Aaron Jones would?
Well, he definitely doesn't have the burst that Aaron Jones has, you know, and that's why Jones should be the starter as soon as he comes back. Jamal Williams deserves a ton of credit for being extremely durable, for being extremely reliable, for being excellent in pass protection, and at times he can be a valuable runner and receiver. But, I mean, even going back to last year, his yards per carry number was not very good, and the reason is he runs into the back of the offensive lineman too often, or doesn't seem to have, you know, as good a vision or as much of an ability to change direction as Aaron Jones does. So I think that's why it's important for the Packers to get Jones back, because he's by far the best runner of the three guys that they have, you know, throwing Ty Montgomery into that mix. So I certainly, you know, think that the Minnesota Vikings defense is better than the Bears defense, and I think it could be difficult for the Packers to run the football.
Josh Jackson made some big plays on Sunday night. I liked it when he came out of Iowa. I liked the draft pick. They have a lot of confidence, a lot of faith in him. First game that he played in, they put him in some big spots, and he responded.
Yeah, I mean, he got a lot of playing time along with Jair Alexander. I think that these are two guys that they believe in, and I think Josh Jackson looks like he's going to be a pretty good player in this league. I think that, you know, for all the questions that there were about his speed, he has answered some of those by playing faster than his 40-yard dash time. And I think that it was certainly a step in the right direction for both of those guys, although Mike McCarthy did point out yesterday that both of them made, you know, a lot of mistakes in the game. So there's going to be a learning curve. There's going to be growing pains. That's just how it goes with rookie corners. But as far as debuts go, I thought it was certainly encouraging for both of those rookies.
How long of a leash does Clay Matthews get? Like, will he start losing snaps to maybe Reggie Gilbert, or they try to move him inside, or he just had a bad night on Sunday night, and I think we talked about it a little Monday. But how much of a leash will he get before they start to say he's more of a liability than a beneficiary to this defense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question that Matthews played pretty poorly against the Bears on Sunday night, but it was one game, and I think that for a player of his stature in terms of what he's achieved previously, he gets the benefit of the doubt for at least a couple more weeks before they make some sort of a drastic change, either moving him inside, as you mentioned, you know, sort of changing his position, or, you know, starting to really reduce his snap count. I think that, you know, for a player that has the ability that he has, even if it's waning a little bit, as he is, I believe, 33 years old now, I think that, you know, it would be a little bit of a rash decision to completely change things up after just one game. So I expect him to be playing the same amount of snaps that he always would against the Vikings, and see how it goes Sunday. But certainly it was not the type of start that Clay Matthews wants, and not the type of start that the Packers need given their lack of depth at the outside linebacker position.
What did you think of Nick Perry's play?
I thought he was steady. I thought that he was, you know, he led the team in pressures with three, but it wasn't like he was overwhelming or, you know, so unblockable that, you know, it was just an absolute turnstile on his side of the field. But I thought that, you know, it was a steady performance. It's about what you'd expect from Nick Perry. I don't think there's any question that at this point he's the guy that defenses would be a little bit more afraid of than Clay Matthews. And I think he needs to continue to play well and needs to even take it up another notch if he can, because the Packers just don't have a lot rushing off the edge right now.
Packers have the Vikings Sunday at noon. Michael, we'll talk to you tomorrow and start to look more into that matchup. We appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
All right, see you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.